welcome to W Rated, the show where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Today, you've joined us on this year's Road to Razzies, our annual season of episodes looking at the nominations for the controversial Golden Raspberry Awards 2024. For new listeners, I'm Daisy, and as always, I'm joined by podcast co-creator, host and editor Claire. Claire, would you like to tell us which film we're talking about this episode?
Today we're talking about the film About My Father, which is nominated for one award, Worst Supporting Actress for Kim Cattrall. She actually has been nominated twice before at the Razzies. Oh, three times technically. She got two nominations for Sex and the City 2 for Worst Actress shared with the other three girls, and then also Worst Ensemble shared with the entire crew. I was like, okay, that's a bit of an unnecessary double nom there, but Sex and the City 2 is a fucking truly awful film, so, you know, can't deny that. The first...
But I've heard bad things.
Do you like Sex and the City?
I've never watched it.
Okay, I love Sex and the City's show. The first movie, so unexpectedly charming, so pleasant. I was like, oh my god, they did it. Like, there's issues with it, but as a fan of the show, I was like, wow, they managed to make it work. And then they come along with the second one, and I just do not know what the fuck they were doing. It is awful. And then she also was nominated back in 91 for The Bonfire of the Vanities, which I have heard is an appalling movie.
I've not heard of that at all.
I believe it's one of Tom Hanks' very early films. I think he's also in it with... Oh, wait, no, I might be thinking of something else. Hang on. The Bonfire of the Vanities movie. No, it was Tom Hanks. It's Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan in their first film together, but it is meant to be...
Oh, I didn't realise they'd been in more than the two.
Oh, no, so it's not Meg Ryan, it's Melanie Griffith. But it is still Tom Hanks, and it is atrocious, according to everyone. God, that was so many words for a film we're not talking about. So About My Father. It's about a guy, an Italian-American guy who has a very Italian-American dad, played by Robert De Niro in one of his comedy performances.
I feel like when he's doing these performances, he should be called Bobby De Niro.
Yeah, it's very much a Bobby De Niro performance. Sorry, Bob. And he is marrying a very waspy girl, or wants to propose to a very waspy girl. And him and his dad go to spend the weekend, the 4th of July weekend, with his girlfriend and her very wasp-like American family, of whom the mother is Kim Cattrall, who is playing some sort of political candidate. And they own a hotel fortune, and they're really rich, and that's about it, isn't it? And then, you know, hijinks ensue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty by-the-numbers kind of... I wouldn't even call it... It's not even a raunchy comedy, because they don't even go that far, but it's...
No, there's an attempt at raunch, but it's not really.
It harkens to the kind of noughties comedies, you know, if you think about the original sort of, like, you go back Robert De Niro, you know, Meet the Parents.
But that's halfway through it, I was like, oh wait, this is a bad Meet the Parents.
It is a bad Meet the Parents, yeah. I mean, I think overall, this was pretty inoffensive to me.
That was my thing. Like, it wasn't, it really wasn't a great movie, but it
seemed... There were moments where I was like, this is quite nice and fun, but it's nothing more than that, really.
It's a silly, sweet story about what it's like to be the embarrassed child of an immigrant. I think it could have been done better, but I've definitely seen it done worse. Mm-hmm. I thought, to be honest, like, Robert De Niro was really overdoing it, but I felt like that was probably what he was asked to do, because it was very over the top in general.
And he can kind of do that. Yeah. Like, he kind of does it okay. Like, he does it fine. Like,
yeah, and I thought the main guy was all right. Leslie Bibb.
He's a comedian, I'd come to learn.
Because I did wonder why he was cast. Leslie Bibb, who played his girlfriend, I thought she was decent enough.
I can't remember if I've seen her in anything. I know of her, but...
She's been in loads and loads of stuff in kind of side parts. She never made it. She's been in a lot of TV, because I knew her from a teen show back in the, like, early noughties. She also, with Sam Rockwell's, I don't think they're married, but they've been their lifelong partners. Maybe they are married, but anyway, they're together and really supportive of each other, and actually really cute as a couple. And she actually just seems like a nice person. Yeah. She might not be, I don't know, but also she gets to have Sam Rockwell, so jello. And then, yeah, Kim Cattrall plays her mum, and I don't really know why this nomination's here, because I thought she did a fine job. She was...
I actually quite liked her
She's doing exactly what Kim Cattrall does best. Like, yeah, maybe it's a little bit lazy. She's not doing anything new, both the script...
It's very archetypal, isn't it?
The script and the film aren't asking her to do anything new, and she's not doing anything she hasn't done before in other films, but I thought she did a great job. I'm like, perfect casting. Good work.
This film is not heavy lift.
No.
It's not built for that. It's not meant to be anything more than a sweet kind of funny... I think they were hoping it would be funnier.
Yeah.
But it's nothing more than like a sweet story. And the thing that this film has that not a lot of the films we've discussed have is a nice idea for a story. It's a good byline. Is the byline that word? Strapline. It's a good strapline. Yeah. Like the one-liner, what would happen if son of an immigrant, a first-generation Italian-American, was marrying into a middle-class white family, but he can't get the ring from his Italian father until they meet. Lovely. Lovely kind of enclosed, on location, character-driven story.
Very loosely inspired by the main character who was played by Sebastian Maniscalco. Very loosely inspired by his real life, because Robert De Niro apparently went to meet his dad to get a bit of research. And I think that's nice. Like, I love a good immigrant story.
I think, like we've said it a bajillion times, but it's small, it's sweet, it delivers, it's nothing, doesn't try to be any more than it is, it doesn't phone it in, it's just what it is. I feel like everyone kind of seemed to have a bit of fun on set. You know, Kim Cattrall wasn't afraid to kind of, she's very, like, obviously very elegant, very, you know, commands the screen, but she wasn't afraid to get a bit silly every now and then with stuff. I feel like I was prepared for it to be a lot more stomach churning.
I thought it was going to be offensive.
Than it was.
And I didn't actually think it was that offensive. I think it definitely had the potential to really go all in on the stereotypes and the offensiveness. And I think obviously because he seems to have co-written it and it is, you know, must be loosely inspired by his own experiences, it always toes that line of offensiveness and stereotype, but never quite falls into it.
And I think that's nice.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to shock people to be funny. You do need better jokes, which this needed, but
it has a bit of heart, which was nice.
That's more important, I think. I think you get the point of the story, and I just feel like it's a lot more relatable.
Yeah.
These things that happen, whilst some of the stuff, like, aka Peacock and Haircut, were the outlandish kind of, oh my God, could you even imagine?
We saw the haircut coming. We knew something was happening there.
Exactly. And I think, and this is funny because at the beginning of the film, she says, I don't want to bring you into some kind of Italian Get Out or something to that. So I think when I read the synopsis, I was like, oh, they're going to make this so cringe. Mm-hmm. They're going to make us want to literally like turn stomach and be very like noughties, raunch kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But instead it was just kind of realistic in a glossed over way.
Yeah.
Like, what would actually happen? Some of the stuff was like, oh my God, like, could you even imagine someone doing that? But it was all still quite grounded.
The worst, in my opinion, running joke was the younger brother, who's Brett Dyer, who was in Jane the Virgin, for anyone that watched it, plays
the one that's
really
very hippy-dippy.
And it does get a bit old. He basically is just super hippie all the time and no one understands him and he hates being rich and all of this. But then that got a bit irritating at times. But at the same time, they also used it as a really good opportunity to show you Robert De Niro's character wasn't completely horrible, because no matter what this guy Doug was doing, he always went, what are you doing, Doug? And you could tell there was a hint of judgment there. But he also was like, what is this child doing? Why is no one commenting on what this weird man is up to? And he was always willing to be like, so what's going on here? And then, you know, encourage him or amuse him, you know, go into his reality from it, which I thought worked.
I think that's nice. I think it worked. Yeah. And I don't think they were trying to... It wasn't anything more than a commentary of very surface level thing, right? But they, like you say, they still used it,
yeah,
which was nice. No, I did like that. Yeah. I did like, and also the other brother is very one-dimensional, yeah, as well.
Yeah.
But there is some tension there. There's some tension there in a few points because the parents give the main guy, Sebastian, a job at their hotel company the brother wanted, but there was a few sort of drug testing lines that kind of
rich people,
you know, squared that away. It's not trying to make a commentary on anything. It's not trying to do anything tense. It's just trying to be a comedy. It's just trying to get the jokes. But it is, unfortunately, it's not, because it hasn't, it veers more sweet than comedic. So the jokes are very kind of, you see them come in. And I did laugh a few times, but it wasn't really anything more than that. It wasn't trying to be this huge laugh out. Like, you should have heard me laughing at No Hard Feelings. My God.
Oh, I didn't like that film.
You didn't like it? I just really, really laughed at Jennifer Lawrence.
Too many bits of it made me uncomfortable. I could see the vision, but I wasn't on board with the vision.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. But it was just like, yeah. So it wasn't proper like me, like proper like guffawing, yeah, or anything. It's just, the conclusion is, it's a sweet little
low budget
kind of funny
family story.
Yeah.
And Kim Cattrall was great in it. Well, not great, but like, Kim Cattrall was very good in it. She's one of the strongest ones.
I think so.
She knows what she's there to do, and she does it well. And she rocks two different haircuts, and she delivers her lines. And I don't know just what's been going
on
with this supporting actress category. I wonder if people watched this ready to hate on Robert De Niro.
Maybe, because he wasn't nominated.
No, that's what... Like, I watched it before checking the nominations. And then was like, oh, it's only Kim Cattrall. And so, I don't know, would you have put him in actor or supporting actor? Not that I think he deserves it, but where would you have put him?
I would put actor.
Actor. So he's up against Meg 2, Ghosted, Pope's Exorcist, Fast X and Mercy. So he didn't really have a look in, but I wonder if people watched this with the intention of nominating him.
Yeah, because... And then, like, after like that Bad Grandpa film, yeah, that people really despised, I imagine they thought it was going to be another one of those.
Yeah, whereas then I wonder if this, because the supporting actress category is very strange, if she just fell in by the wayside. We were talking in another episode, though, about the Razzie Redeemer. I do think it's going to be Robert De Niro this year, because he is Oscar-nommed, and he's been nommed a number of times for the Razzies, so I think he'll get the Razzie Redeemer.
That's a good shout, actually. Yeah, that's a good shout. Yeah. But yeah, back to Kim Cattrall, I think what she did well was that you go in, and I don't know about you, but you go in a little bit tense when you meet them, because you're like, how is she going to be? Is she going to be an absolute asshole?
How Trump and then you parody kind of, are we going here?
Yeah. And then it ends up not being too bad, but there is still that sense of... it felt like if you were in a room with her, she managed to emulate that across the screen, and that's kind of all you really need her to do.
Yeah.
She wasn't even really part of the plot.
No.
To be honest.
No, she's needed for the
hair.
Inciting incident, because the inciting incident is that he ruins her hair. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kim Cattrall wronged. This was, I actually...
Justice for Kim.
Yeah, I thought this was pleasant. It's all right.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we hope you can join us for another mini episode as we tackle another Razzie-nominated film on our road to Razzies 2024.